chapter 2 the name and titles of the Holy Spirit. Of the name of the Holy Spirit, various uses of the words R plus W plus UX plus A and pneuma, R plus W plus UX plus F for the wind or anything invisible with a sensible agitation, Amos 4:13, mistakes of the ancients rectified by Hiram, R plus W plus UX plus A metaphorically for vanity, magnanimously for the part or quarter of anything. For our vital breath, the rational soul, the affections, angels good and bad, ambiguity from the use of the word, how to be removed, rules concerning the Holy Spirit, the name Spirit, how peculiar and appropriate unto him, why he is called the Holy Spirit, whence called the good Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son, Acts 2:33, 1 Peter 1:10, 11, explained, 1 John 4:3, vindicated. Before we engage into the consideration of the things themselves concerning which we are to treat, it will be necessary to speak something unto the name whereby the third person in the Trinity is commonly known and peculiarly called in the Scripture. This is a Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as we usually speak. And this I shall do that we be not deceived with the homonymy of the word, nor be at a loss in the intention of those places of Scripture where it is used unto other purposes, for it is so that the name of the second person, Hologos, the word, and of the third to pneuma, the Spirit, are often applied to signify other things. I mean, those words are so. And some make their advantages of the ambiguous use of them. But the Scripture is able of itself to manifest its own intention and meaning unto humble and diligent inquirers into it. It is, then, acknowledged that the use of the words R plus W plus UX plus A and pneuma in the Old Testament and New is very various. Yet are they the words whereby alone the Holy Spirit of God is denoted. Their peculiar signification, therefore, in particular places is to be collected and determined from the subject matter treated of in them, and other especial circumstances of them. This was first attempted by the most learned Didymus of Alexandria, whose words, therefore, I have set down at large, and shall cast his observations into a more perspicuous method, with such additions as are needful for the farther clearing of the whole matter. First, in general, R plus W plus UX plus A and pneuma signify a wind or spirit, that is, anything which moves and is not seen. So the air in a violent agitation is called R plus W plus UX plus A, Genesis 8:1, W plus AJ plus A plus B plus R plus L plus H plus IJ plus M percent R plus W plus UX plus AE plus L plus H plus O or plus EJ. And God made a wind, or spirit, that is, a strong and mighty wind, to pass over the earth, for the driving and removal of the waters. So pneuma is used, John 3:8. Tanuma hapathelinai ktl, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. Which is a proper description of this first signification of the word. It is an agitation of the air which is unseen. So Psalm 1:4. And in this sense, sometimes it signifies a great and strong wind, that is, R plus W plus UX plus AN plus UD plus W plus L plus O plus W plus X plus OZ plus OQ plus, 1 Kings 19:11. And sometimes a cool and soft wind, or a light easy agitation of the air, such as often ariseth in the evenings of the spring or summer. So Genesis 3:8, God walked in the garden L plus R plus W plus UX plus AH plus AJ plus UW plus M percent, in the cool of the day. That is, when the evening air began to breathe gently, and moderate the heat of the day. So in the poet, Solus adocastum, quim frigidus ea visp. Temperat. Virg. Georgii. 336. At the going down of the sun, when the cold evening tempers the heat of the air. And some think this to be the sense of that place, Psalm 104:4. Who maketh his angels R plus W plus UX plus W plus T plus, spirits, swift, agile, powerful as mighty winds. But the reader may consult our exposition on Hebrews 1:7. This is one signification of the word R plus W plus UX plus A, or this is one thing denoted by it in the Scripture. So, among many other places, expressly Amos 4:13, 4, lo, J plus W plus E J R plus H plus or plus I J plus M percent W plus U B plus R plus W plus U X plus A, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the spirit, that is, the wind. The 70 render this place, Starion Bronton Chi Ktizon Numa. Who establisheth the thunder, and createth the spirit. Though some copies read, Ta or, the mountains. And the next words in the text, W plus M plus Ag plus UJ plus D plus L plus Odd plus OM percent M plus R plus Shu IJ plus X plus W plus, and declareth unto man what is his thought, they render, Chi Apengelen Is Anthropos Ton Christen Atu, and declareth unto men his Christ, or his anointed, or his Messiah. For they took M plus R plus Shu IJ plus X plus W plus for M plus Shi J plus X plus W plus by inadvertency, and not for want of points or vowels if some imagine, seeing the mistake consists in the casting out of a letter itself. And thence the old Latin translation renders the words, Firmans tenitruum, et creens spiritum, et annunciens in homines Christum suum. Which hereum rectified into formans montes, et creens ventum, et annunciens homini eloquium suum, discovering in his comment the mistake of the 70, but it is certain that, from the ambiguity of the word R plus W plus UX plus A inch this place, with the corrupt translations making mention of Christ in the next words, some who of old denied the deity of the Holy Spirit mightily insisted on it to prove him a creature. As may be seen in Didymus, Ambrose, Hiram, Hilary, and the ancients generally, but the context determines the signification of the word beyond all just exceptions. It is the power of God in making and disposing of things here below, whether dreadful for their greatness and height, as the mountains, or mighty and effectual in their operations, as the wind, or secret in their conceptions, as the thoughts of men, or stable in their continuance, as the night and day, the evening and morning, without the least respect to Christ or the Spirit, that it treateth of. And I cannot but observe from hence the great necessity there is of searching the original text in the interpretation of the Scriptures, as it might be evidenced by a thousand other instances. But one we may take from two great and learned men, who were contemporaries in the Latin Church, in their thoughts on this place. The one is Ambrose, who, interpreting these words in his second book, De Spiritu Sancto, Lib. 2 Cap. 6, being deceived by the corrupt translation mentioned, annunciens in homines Christum suum, is forced to give a very strained exposition of that which, in truth, is not in the text, and to relieve himself also with another corruption in the same place, where forming the mountains is rendered by establishing the thunder. And yet, when he hath done all, he can scarce free himself of the objection about the creation of the Spirit, which he designs to answer. His words are, Sicci propheticum dictum, ideo derivantum putet ad interpretationem spiritu sancti. Qui habet, annunciens in homines Christum suum, is ad incarnationis Dominic mysteria dictum facilius derivabit. Nam CT movet qui spiritum dixit, ad hoc non putis derivandum ad mysterium assumptionis human prosquare scripturis ad invenis optimi congruor de Christo, de quo bene convenitur mari, qui affirmavit in itrua adventus suo. Vim videlicit et sanum coelestium scripturum. Quorum velut quodam tenitru mens en ostr redunter atanit ut timer discamus, et reverentiam coelestibus deformis oraculis. De nec, in Evangelio fritters domini fili tenitru disabantur. Et cum vox patris facta esset dissentis ad filium, et honorificavit, et iterum honorificabo, jud dispent, tenitruum factum estili. And Iran, with some observations to the same purpose, he adds, Ergo tenitrua ad sermons domini regulat, quorum in omnem terram exhibits onus. Spiritum autem hoc loco animam, quam suspit rationabilem et perfectum intelligimus. The substance of his discourse is, that treating of Christ who indeed is neither mentioned nor intended in the text, he speaks of confirming the thunder which nowhere here appears, by which the sound of the scriptures and preaching of the word is intended. The spirit that was created being the human soul of Jesus Christ. Nor was he alone in this interpretation. Didym. Lib. 2 De Spiritu Sancto, Athanas ad Serapion, Basil. Lib. 4 Contra Unum, amongst the Grecians, are in like manner entangled with this corruption of the text. as was also consul. Sardis and in Socrat lib. 2 cap. 20. The other person intended is Hiram, who, consulting the original, as he was well able to do, first translated the words, quia et formans montes, et crines ventum, et annunciens homini loquium suum, declares the mistake of the 70 and the occasion of it pro montibus qui Hebraic decunter H plus or plus J plus impercent. Soli 70 Bronton, id est, tunt itruum, verderat. Curatum illi spiritum et nos dix erimus ventum, qui Hebraic R plus W plus UX plus evocator, causa manifesta est quod sequitur, annunciens homini loquium suum, 70 transtulerant, apangelin eis anthropus tun Christen autu, verbi similitudine, et ambiguitate decepti. So he shows that it is not M plus she J plus X plus W plus in the text, but M plus A plus Shui J plus X plus W plus. That is, Sethi, juxta aquilum, homilion autu. Samacum, tophonema autu. Juxta Theodotionem, ton logon autu. Juxta quintum additionem, ten adolescian autu. And as Shij plus X plus A, whence the word is, signifies both to meditate and to speak, so the word itself intends a conceived thought, to be spoken afterward. And that W plus here is reciprocal, not relative. And to this purpose is his ensuing exposition, qui confirmat montes, ad cujus vocem celerum cardines et tier fundamenta quaeta utter. Ips qui crete spiritum, quem in hoc loco non spiritum sanctum, ut h itici suspicenter, se divenum intelligimus, sub spiritum hominis, annunciens homini loquium aegis, qui cogitationum secreta cognoscit, heron in loc. Secondly, because the wind, on the account of its unaccountable variation, inconstancy, and changes, is esteemed vain, not to be observed or trusted unto, whence the wise man tells us that he that observeth the wind shall not sow, Eccles. 11:4, the word is used metaphorically to signify vanity Eccles. 5:16, what profit hath he that hath labored L plus or plus W plus UX plus A, for the wind? So Micah 2:11, if a man walk W plus OSH Q plus R plus W plus UX plus A, with the wind in falsehood, that is, in vanity, pretending to a spirit of prophecy, and falsehood, vainly, foolishly, falsely boasting. So Job 15:2, should a wise man utter D plus A plus E plus R plus W plus UX plus a knowledge of wind? Vain words, with a pretense of knowledge and wisdom. And he calls them D plus I plus R plus J plus R plus W plus UX plus A, words of wind, chapter 16:3. So also Jeremiah 5:13, and the prophets shall become L plus R plus W plus UX plus A, wind, or be vain, foolish, uncertain, and false, in their predictions. But pneuma is not used thus metaphorically in the New Testament. Thirdly, by a metonymy, also, it signifies any part or quarter, as we say, of the world from whence the wind blows. As also a part of anything divided into four sides or quarters. So Jeremiah 52:23, there were 90 and 6 pomegranates R plus W plus UX plus O plus, towards a wind. That is, on the one side of the chapiter that was above the pillars in the temple. Ezekiel 5:12, I will scatter a third part L plus K plus O L plus R plus W plus UX plus A, into all the winds, or all parts of the earth. Hence, the four quarters of a thing lying to the four parts of the world are called its four winds, R plus B plus UAE plus R plus W plus UX plus W plus T plus, 1 Chronicles 9:24. Whence are the tesseres animoi, the four winds, in the New Testament, Matthew 24:31. This is the use of the word in general with respect unto things natural and inanimate, and every place where it is so used gives it a determinate sense. Again, fourthly, these words are used for anything that cannot be seen or touched, be it in itself martial and corporeal, or absolutely spiritual and immaterial. So the vital breath which we and other living creatures breathe is called everything wherein was N plus Ish M plus E plus R plus W plus UX plus AX plus AJ plus UIJ plus M percent, the breath of the spirit of life, Genesis 7:22, that vital breath which our lives are maintained by in respiration. So Psalm 135:17. Job 19:17. Which is a thing material or corporeal. But most frequently it denotes things purely spiritual and immaterial, as in finite substances it signifies the rational soul of man. Psalm 31:5. Into thine hand I commit R plus W plus UX plus IJ plus, that is, my spirit. They are the words whereby our Savior committed his departing soul into the hands of his Father, Luke 23:46, Tanumamu. So Psalm 146:4, T plus UZJR plus W plus UX plus W plus, his breath, say we, goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. It is his soul and its departure from the body that is intended. This is R plus W plus UX plus AB plus UN plus J plus H plus O odd plus OM percent, that spirit of the sons of man that goeth upward, when the spirit of a beast goeth downward to the earth, or turneth to corruption, Eccles 3:21 see chapter 8:8, 12:7. Hence, fifthly, by a metonymy also, it is taken for the affections of the mind or soul of man, and that whether they be good or evil. Genesis 45:27, the spirit of Jacob revived. He began to take heart and be of good courage. Ezekiel 13:3, the prophets that walk Ax plus R plus R plus W plus UX plus OM percent, after their own spirit, that is, their own desires and inclinations, when, indeed, they had no vision, but spake what they had a mind unto. Numbers 14:24, Caleb is said to have another spirit than the murmuring people, another mind, will, purpose, or resolution. It is taken for prudence, Joshua 5:1. Anger, or the irascible faculty, Eccles 7:9. Fury, Zechariah 6:8. He shall cut off the spirit of princes, PS 76:12. That is, their pride, insolency, and contempt of others. Pneuma in the New Testament frequently intends the intellectual part of the mind or soul, and that as it is active, or in action, Luke 1:47. Romans 1:9. And oft-times is taken for the mind and all its inclinations, in its whole habitual bent and design, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Sixthly, angels also are called spirits, good angels, Psalm 104:4. And it may be an angel is intended, 1 Kings 18:12. And evil angels or devils, 1 Kings 22:21, 22. For that spirit who appeared before the Lord, and offered himself to be a lying spirit in the mouths of Ahab's prophets, was no other but he who appeared before God, Job 1:6, who is called Satan. These in the New Testament are called unclean spirits, Matthew 10:1. And the observation of the ancients, that Satan is not called a spirit absolutely, but with an addition or mark of distinction, holds only in the New Testament. And because evil spirits are wont to torment the minds and bodies of men, therefore evil thoughts, disorders of mind, wicked purposes, disquieting and vexing the soul, arising from or much furthered by melancholy distempers, are called, it may be, sometimes an evil spirit. The case of Saul shall be afterward considered. In such variety are these words used and applied in the Scripture, because of some very general notions wherein the things intended do agree. For the most part, there is no great difficulty in discovering the especial meaning of them, or what it is they signify in the several places where they occur. Their design and circumstances as to the subject matter treated of determine the signification, and notwithstanding the ambiguous use of these words in the Old and New Testament, there are two things clear and evident unto our purpose. First, that there is in the Holy Scriptures a full, distinct revelation or declaration of the Spirit, or the Spirit of God, as one singular, and every way distinct from everything else that is occasionally or constantly signified or denoted by that word Spirit. And this not only a multitude of particular places gives testimony unto, but also the whole course of the Scripture supposeth, as that without an acknowledgement whereof nothing else contained in it can be understood or is of any use at all. For we shall find this doctrine to be the very life and soul which quickens the whole from first to last. Take away the work and powerful efficacy of the Holy Spirit from the administration of it, and it will prove but a dead letter, of no saving advantage to the souls of men. And take away the doctrine concerning him from the writing of it, and the whole will be unintelligible and useless. Secondly, that whatever is affirmed of this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It all relates either to His person or His operations, and these operations of His being various are sometimes, by a metonymy, called Spirit. Whereof afterward, I shall not, therefore, need to prove that there is a Holy Spirit distinct from all other spirits whatever, and from everything else that on several occasions is signified by that name. For this is acknowledged by all that acknowledge the Scriptures, yea, it is so by Jews and Mohammedans, as well as all sorts of Christians. And, indeed, all those false apprehensions concerning Him which have at this day any countenance given unto them may be referred unto two heads. 1. That of the modern Jews, who affirm the Holy Ghost to be the influential power of God, which conceit is entertained and diligently promoted by the Socinians. 2. That of the Mohammedans, who make Him an eminent angel, and sometimes say it is Gabriel, which, being traduced from the Macedonians of old, hath found some defenders and promoters in our days. This, then, being the name of Him concerning whom we treat, some things concerning it and the use of it, as peculiarly applied unto Him, are to be premised, for sometimes He is called the Spirit absolutely, sometimes the Holy Spirit, or, as we speak, the Holy Ghost, sometimes the Spirit of God, the good Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth and holiness, sometimes the Spirit of Christ or of the Son. The first absolutely used denotes His person. The additions express His properties and relation unto the other persons. In the name Spirit two things are included: first, His nature or essence, namely, that He is a pure, spiritual, or immaterial substance. For neither the Hebrews nor the Greeks can express such a being in its subsistence but by R plus W plus UX plus A and Pneuma, a spirit. Nor is this name, firstly, given unto the Holy Spirit in allusion unto the wind in its subtlety, agility, and efficacy. For these things have respect only unto His operations, wherein, from some general appearances, His works and effects are likened unto the wind and its effects, John 3:8. But it is His substance or being which is first intended in this name. So it is said of God, chapter 4:24, Pneuma ho Theos. God is a spirit. That is, He is of a pure, spiritual, immaterial nature, not confined unto any place, and so not regarding one more than another in His worship, as is the design of the place to evince. It will therefore be said, that on this account the name of Spirit is not peculiar unto the third person, seeing it contains the description of that nature which is the same in them all. For whereas it is said, God is a spirit, it is not spoken of this or that person, but of the nature of God abstractedly. I grant that so it is. And therefore the name Spirit is not, in the first place, characteristical of the third person in the Trinity, but denotes that nature whereof each person is partaker. But, moreover, as it is peculiarly and constantly ascribed unto Him, it declares His especial manner and order of existence. So that wherever there is mention of the Holy Spirit, His relation unto the Father and Son is included therein. For He is the Spirit of God. And herein there is an allusion to somewhat created, not, as I said, to the wind in general, unto whose agility and invisibility He is compared in His operations, but unto the breath of man. For as the vital breath of a man hath the continual emanation from Him, and yet is never separated utterly from His person or forsaketh Him, so doth the Spirit of the Father and the Son proceed from them by a continual divine emanation, still abiding one with them. For all those illusions are weak and imperfect wherein substantial things are compared with accidental, infinite things with finite, and those that are eternal with those that are temporary. Hence, their disagreement is infinitely more than their agreement. Yet such illusions doth our weakness need instruction from and by. Thus He is called R plus W plus UX plus AP plus UIJ plus W plus, Psalm 33:6, the Spirit or breath of the mouth of the Lord, or of His nostrils. As Psalm 18:15, wherein there is an eminent allusion unto the breath of a man. Of the manner of this proceeding and emanation of the Spirit from the Father and the Son, so far as it is revealed, and as we are capable of a useful apprehension of it, I have treated elsewhere. And from hence, or the subsistence of the Holy Spirit in an eternal emanation from the Father and Son, as the breath of God, did our Savior signify His communication of His gifts unto His disciples by breathing on them, John 20:22, anaphusasi. And because in our first creation it is said of Adam that God J plus IP plus UAX plus B plus UAP plus OJ plus W plus N plus ISH M plus E plus X plus AJ plus UIJ plus M% breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2:7. He hath the same appellation with respect unto God, Psalm 18:15. Thus is he called the Spirit. And because, as we observed before, the word pneuma is variously used, didymus, de spiritu sancto, lib. 3, supposeth that the prefixing of the article to doth distinguish the signification, and confine it to the Holy Ghost in the New Testament. Oft-times no doubt it doth so, but not always, as is manifest from John 3:8, whereto is joined with pneuma, and yet only signifies the wind. But the subject treated of, and what is affirmed of him, will sufficiently determine the signification of the word, where he is called absolutely the Spirit. Again, he is called, by way of eminency, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. This is the most usual appellation of him in the New Testament. And it is derived from the old Psalm 51, R plus W plus UX plus AQ plus OG plus SHK percent O, the Spirit of thy holiness, or thy Holy Spirit Isaiah 63:10-11, R plus W plus UX plus AQ plus OG plus SHW plus, the Spirit of his holiness, or his Holy Spirit. Hence are R plus W plus UX plus AH plus AQ plus UOD plus W plus SH and R plus W plus UX plus AH plus AQ plus UD plus SH, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of holiness, in common use among the Jews. In the New Testament he is pneumatahagen, that Holy Spirit. And we must inquire into the special reasons of this adjunct. Some suppose it is only from his peculiar work of sanctifying us, or making us holy, for this effect of sanctification is his peculiar work, and that of what sort soever it be. Whether it consist in a separation from things profane and common, unto holy uses and services, or whether it be the real infusion and operation of holiness in men, it is from him in an especial manner. And this also manifesteth him to be God, for it is God alone who sanctifieth his people. Leviticus 28, I am Jehovah which sanctify you. And God in that work ascribes unto himself the title of holy in an especial manner, and as such would have us to consider him. Chapter 21:8, I the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. And this may be one reason of the frequent use of this property with reference unto the Spirit. But this is not the whole reason of this name and appellation, for where he is first so mentioned, he is called the Spirit of God's holiness, Psalm 51:11, Isaiah 63:10-11. And in the New Testament absolutely the Spirit of holiness, Romans 1:4, and this respects his nature, in the first place, and not merely his operations. As God, then, absolutely is called holy, the Holy One, and the Holy One of Israel, being therein described by that glorious property of his nature whereby he is glorious in holiness, Exodus 15:11, and whereby he is distinguished from all false gods, who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness. So is the Spirit called holy to denote the holiness of his nature. And on this account is the opposition made between him and the unholy or unclean spirit, Mark 3:29, 30, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. And herein first his personality is asserted. For the unclean spirit is a person, and if the Spirit of God were only a quality or accident, as some fancy and dream, there could no comparative opposition be made between him and this unclean spirit, that is, the devil. So also are they opposed with respect unto their natures. His nature is holy, whereas that of the unclean spirit is evil and perverse. This is the foundation of his being called holy, even the eternal glorious holiness of his nature. And on this account he is so styled also with respect unto all his operations. For it is not only with regard unto the particular work of regeneration and sanctification, or making of us holy, but unto all his works and operations, that he is so termed, for he being the immediate operator of all divine works that outwardly are of God, and they being in themselves all holy, be they of what kind soever, he is called the Holy Spirit. Yea, he is so called to attest and witness that all his works, All the works of God are holy, although they may be great and terrible, and such as to corrupt reason may have another appearance. In all which we are to acquiesce in this, that the Holy One in the midst of us will do no iniquity, Hos 11:9, Zephaniah 3:5. The Spirit of God, then, is thus frequently and almost constantly called holy, to attest that all the works of God, whereof He is the immediate operator, are holy, for it is the work of the Spirit to harden and blind obstinate sinners, as well as to sanctify the elect. And His acting in the one is no less holy than in the other, although holiness be not the effect of it in the objects. So, when He came to declare His dreadful work of the final hardening and rejection of the Jews, one of the most tremendous effects of divine providence, a work which, for the strangeness of it, men would in no wise believe though it were declared unto them, Acts 13:41, He was signally proclaimed holy by the seraphims that attended His throne, Isaiah 6:3, 9-12, John 12:40, Acts 28:25, 26. There are, indeed, some actions on men and in the world that are wrought, by God's permission and in His righteous judgment, by evil spirits, whose persons and actings are placed in opposition to the Spirit of God. So 1 Samuel 16:14, 15, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. So also verse 23, the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. So chapter 18 10, 19 9. This spirit is called R plus W plus UX plus AL plus H plus IJ plus M percent R plus OE plus O plus, an evil spirit of God, chapter 16 15. An absolutely R plus W plus UX plus AL plus X plus IJ plus M percent a spirit of God, verse 23, where we have supplied evil in the translation. But these expressions are to be regulated and explained by verse 14, where He has called R plus W plus UX plus AR plus OE plus O plus M plus T plus J plus H plus W plus O plus, an evil spirit from the Lord. That is, appointed and commissioned by Him for the punishing and terrifying of Saul, for as the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, by withdrawing His assistance and influential operations, whereby He had wrought in him those gifts and abilities of mind which fitted him unto the discharge of his kingly office, upon the first impressions whereof he was turned into another man from what he was in his private condition, chapter 10:6-9. So the evil spirit came upon him to excite out of his own adust melancholy, discontents, fears, a sense of guilt, as also to impress terrifying thoughts and apprehensions on his imagination. For so it is said, an evil spirit from the Lord B plus IE plus X plus A plus UW plus U, chapter 16:14, terrified him, frightened him with dreadful agitations of mind. And, that we may touch a little on this by the way, the foundation of this trouble and distress of Saul lay in himself, for as I do grant that he was sometimes under an immediate agitation of body and mind from the powerful impressions of the devil upon him, for under them it is said he prophesied in the midst of the house, 1 Samuel 18:10, which argues an extraordinary and involuntary effect upon him, yet principally he wrought by the excitation and provocation of his personal distempers, moral and natural. For these have in themselves a great efficacy in cruciating the minds of guilty persons. So Tacitus observes out of Plato, Annal. Lib. 6:6, Nec frustra per tantissimus sapieni firmar solidus est. Si recludantur tyrannorum mens, posia specie lenitus edictus. Quando, ut corpora verboribus, ida s isha, libidine, malis consultis, animus dilacerator. The most eminent wise man was not wont in vain to affirm, that if the minds of tyrants were laid open and discovered, it would be seen how they were cruciated and punished. Seeing that as the body is rent and torn by stripes, so is the mind by cruelty, lusts, evil counsels and undertakings. So he, as I suppose from Plato de Rebum Lib. 9, where Socrates disputes sundry things to that purpose. And another Roman historian gives us a signal instance hereof in Jugurtha, after he had contracted the guilt of many horrible wickednesses. And yet this work in itself is of the same kind with what God sometimes employs holy angels about, because it is the execution of His righteous judgments, So it was a watcher and an holy one that on such a case smote Nebuchadnezzar with a sudden madness and frenzy, Daniel 4:13-17. To return. As he is called the holy, so he is the good spirit of God, Psalm 143:10. R plus IW plus UX plus K percent OTJW plus B plus O plus T plus UAN plus X plus N plus IJ plus. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. So or as rather, thy good spirit shall lead me. Or, as Junius, spirituo bon dedic me, lead me by thy good spirit. The Chaldee here adds Q plus W plus D plus SHK percent O, the good spirit of thy holiness or thy holy good spirit, Didymus, lib. 2 the spear. Sank, says that some copies here read to Hagen, a remembrance whereof is in the MS of Thecla, and not elsewhere. So Nehemiah 9:20, thou gavest them R plus IW plus UX plus K percent OH plus AJW plus B plus O plus. Thy good spirit to instruct them. And he is called so principally from his nature, which is essentially good, as there is none good but one, that is, God, Matthew 19:17. As also from his operations, which are all good as they are holy. And unto them that believe are full of goodness in their effects. Krell. Prolegium, pages 7, distinguisheth between this good spirit and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. For this good spirit he would confine unto the Old Testament, making it the author or cause of those gifts of wisdom, courage, prudence, and government, that were granted unto many of the people of old. So it is said of Bezalel, that he was filled with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and understanding, and in knowledge, Exodus 31:3. So 35:31. That is, saith he, with this good spirit of God. So also, it is pretended, in all those places where the Spirit of God is said to come on men to enable them unto some great and extraordinary work, as Judges 3:10. But this is plainly to contradict the Apostle, who tells us that there are, indeed, various operations, but one Spirit. And that the one and selfsame Spirit worketh all these things as he pleaseth, 1 Corinthians 12:6, 11. And if from every different or distinct effect of the Spirit of God we must multiply spirits, and assign every one of them to a distinct spirit, no man will know what to make of the Spirit of God at last. Probably, we shall have so many feigned spirits as to lose the only true one. As to this particular instance, David prays that God would lead him by his good spirit, Psalm 143:10. Now, certainly, this was no other but that Holy Spirit which he prays in another place that the Lord would not take from him, Psalm 51:11, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, which is confessed to be the Holy Ghost. This he also mentions, 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And what spirit this was Peter declares, 2 Epist. 1:21. Holy men of God spake in old time as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So vain is this pretense. Again, he is commonly called the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord. So, in the first mention of him, Genesis 1:2, R plus W plus UX plus AL plus H plus IJ plus M percent, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And I doubt not but that the name L plus H plus IJ plus M percent, Elohim, which includes a plurality in the same nature, is used in the creation and the whole description of it to intimate the distinction of the divine persons. For presently upon it the name Jehovah is mentioned also, chapter 2:4, but so is Elohim is joined with it. But that name is not used in the account given us of the work of creation, because it hath respect only unto the unity of the essence of God. Now, the Spirit is called the Spirit of God originally and principally, as the Son is called the Son of God. For the name of God in those enunciations is taken personally for the Father, that is, God the Father of Christ, and our Father, John 20:17. And he is thus termed hypostasikos, upon the account of the order and nature of personal subsistence and distinction in the Holy Trinity. The person of the Father being fons et origo Trinitatis, the Son is from him by eternal generation, and is therefore his Son, the Son of God, whose denomination as the Father is originally from hence, even the eternal generation of the Son. So is the person of the Holy Spirit from him by eternal procession or emanation. Hence is that relation of his to God even the Father, whence he is called the Spirit of God. And he is not only called Pneuma to the Wu, the Spirit of God, but Pneuma to Ek to the Wu, the Spirit that is of God, which proceedeth from him as a distinct person. This, therefore, arising from and consisting in his proceeding from him, he is called, metaphorically, the breath of his mouth, as proceeding from him by an eternal spiration. On this foundation and supposition he is also called, secondly, the Spirit of God diakritikos, to difference him from all other spirits whatever. As, thirdly, also, because he is promised, given, and sent of God, for the accomplishment of his whole will and pleasure towards us. The instances hereof will be afterward considered. But these appellations of him have their foundation in his eternal relation unto the Father, before mentioned. On the same account originally, he is also called the Spirit of the Son. God hath sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, Galatians 4:6. And the Spirit of Christ, what time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, 1 Peter 1:11. So Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit, therefore, of God and the Spirit of Christ are one and the same. For that hypothetical proposition, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, is an inference taken from the words foregoing, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And this Spirit of Christ, verse 11, is said to be the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead. Look, then, in what sense he is said to be the Spirit of God, that is, of the Father, in the same he is said to be the Spirit of the Son. And this is because he proceedeth from the Son also. And for no other reason can he be so called, at least not without the original and formal reason of that appellation. Secondarily, I confess he is called the Spirit of Christ because promised by him, sent by him, and that to make effectual and accomplish his work towards the church. But this he could not be unless he had antecedently been the Spirit of the Son by his proceeding from him also for the order of the dispensation of the divine persons towards us ariseth from the order of their own subsistence in the same divine essence. And if the Spirit did proceed only from the person of the Father, he could not be promised, sent, or given by the Son. Consider, therefore, the human nature of Christ in itself and abstractedly, and the Spirit cannot be said to be the Spirit of Christ. For it was anointed and endowed with gifts and graces by him, as we shall show. And if from hence he may be said to be the Spirit of Christ, without respect unto his proceeding from him as the Son of God, then he may be also said to be the Spirit of every believer who hath received the unction, of is anointed with his gifts and graces. For although believers are so, as to measure and degree, unspeakably beneath what Christ was, who received not the Spirit by measure, yet as he is the head and they are the members of the same mystical body, their unction by the Spirit is of the same kind. But now the Spirit of God may not be said to be the Spirit of this or that man who hath received of his gifts and graces. David prays, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, not my Holy Spirit. And he is distinguished from our spirits even as they are sanctified by him. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. No more, then, can he be said to be the Spirit of Christ merely upon the account of his communications unto him, although in a degree above all others inconceivably excellent. For with respect hereunto he is still called the Spirit of God or the Father, who sent him, and anointed the human nature of Christ with him. It will be said, perhaps, that he is called the Spirit of Christ because he is promised, given, and poured out by him. So Peter speaks, Acts 2:33, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. But in this regard, namely, as given by Christ the Mediator, he is expressly called the Spirit of the Father. He was given as the promise of the Father, for so he is introduced speaking, verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And so our Savior tells his disciples that he would pray the Father, and he should give them another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, John 14:16-17. Nor is he otherwise the Spirit of Christ, originally and formally, but as he is the Spirit of God, that is, as Christ is God also. On the supposition I grant, as before, that he may consequently be called the Spirit of Christ, because promised and sent by him, because doing his work, and communicating his grace, image, and likeness to the elect. And this is yet more plain, 1 Peter 1:10-11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. And this Spirit is said absolutely to be the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1:21. So, then, the Spirit that was in the prophets of old, in all ages since the world began, before the incarnation of the Son of God, is called the Spirit of Christ, that is, of him who is so. Now, this could not be because he was anointed by that Spirit, or because he gave it afterward to his disciples. For his human nature did not exist in the time of their prophesying. Those, indeed, who receive him after the unction of the human nature of Christ may be said in some sense to receive the Spirit of Christ, because they are made partakers of the same Spirit with him, to the same ends and purposes, according to their measure. But this cannot be so with respect unto them who lived and prophesied by him, and died long before his incarnation. Wherefore, it is pleaded by those who oppose both the deity of Christ and the Spirit, which are undeniably here attested unto, that the Spirit here, whereby they cannot deny the Holy Ghost to be intended, is called the Spirit of Christ, because the prophets of old, who spake by him, did principally prophesy concerning Christ and his grace, and delivered great mysteries concerning them. So Christ is made in this place the object of the Spirit's teaching, and not the author of ascending. So Crowell. Prolegium, pages 13, 14. But why, then, is he not called the Spirit of God also on this reason, because the prophets that spake by him treated wholly of God, the things in the will of God? This they will not say, for they acknowledge him to be the virtue and power of God, inherent in him and proceeding from him. But, then, whereas God even the Father is a person, and Christ is a person, and the Spirit is said to be the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, whence doth it appear that the same expression must have different interpretations, and that the Spirit is called the Spirit of God because he is so, and proceedeth from him, but the Spirit of Christ because he is not so, but only treateth of him? The answer is ready, namely, because the Father is God, but Christ is not, and therefore could not give the Spirit when he was not. This is an easy answer, namely, to deny a fundamental truth, and to set up that denial in an opposition unto a clear testimony given unto it. But the truth is, this pretended sense leaves no sense at all in the words, for if the Spirit which was in the prophets be called the Spirit of Christ only because he did beforehand declare the things of Christ, that is, his sufferings and the glory that did follow, and that be the sole reason of that denomination, then the sense or importance of the words is this, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, which did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. For according to this interpretation, the Spirit of Christ is nothing but the Spirit is testifying beforehand of him, and thence alone is he so called, the absurdity whereof is apparent unto all. But countenance is indeed void unto this resting of the Scripture from 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. For say some, the spirit of Antichrist is said to be in the world, when Antichrist was not as yet come. But the Spirit here intended is not called the Spirit of Antichrist because it declared and foretold the things of Antichrist before his coming. On which account alone they allow the Spirit of God in the prophets of old to be called the Spirit of Christ they have, therefore, no countenance from this place, which fails them in the principal thing they would prove by it. Again, supposing these words, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world, are to be interpreted of the Spirit mentioned, and not of Antichrist himself, yet no more can be intended but that the false teachers and seducers which were then in the world acted with the same Spirit as Antichrist should do at his coming. and so there is no conformity between these expressions. Besides, the spirit of Antichrist was then in the world, as was Antichrist himself. So far as his spirit was then in the world, so far was he so also. For Antichrist and his spirit cannot be separated. Both he and it were then in the world in their forerunners, who opposed the truth of the gospel about the incarnation of the Son of God and his sufferings. And, indeed, the spirit of Antichrist in this place is no more but his doctrine, anti-Christian doctrine, which is to be tried and rejected. Neither is any singular person intended by Antichrist, but a mysterious opposition unto Christ and the gospel, signally headed by a series of men in the latter days. He, therefore, and his spirit began to be together in the world in the apostles' days, when the mystery of iniquity began to work, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. There is, therefore, no countenance to be taken from these words unto the perverting and resting of that other expression concerning the Spirit of Christ in the prophets of old. This, therefore, is the formal reason of this appellation. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Son, and the Spirit of Christ, upon the account of his procession or emanation from his person also. Without respect hereunto he could not be called properly the Spirit of Christ. But on that supposition he may be. He is so denominated from that various relation and respect that he hath unto him in his work and operations. Thus is the Spirit called in the Scripture. These are the names whereby the essence and subsistence of the third person in the Holy Trinity are declared. How he is called on the account of his offices and operations will be manifested in our progress.